How to find wealthy clients. Let's talk about it. The question of how to find wealthy clients, I find, is a perplexing one for many financial advisors. Most of y'all were in growth mode and were actively on the hunt when you were first starting your practices, but once the practice got established, you just grew it by referrals. So for a lot of you, finding wealthy clients is something that's real kind of overwhelming, I've seen. Now, I'm going to talk about five ways you can do this. So get ready. Here we go. The first one is your existing clients. And the reason I put this first is that many of you overlook this. And especially if you're an established advisor with a couple hundred clients, this is really your power base. There is no stronger base to work off of than the people who already know and trust you. And I don't mean that I want you to go out there and go ask everybody for a referral. Because, I mean, like, I see this all the time. People go so far as to put it as like in the footer of their emails. It's like, come on. All right. Like that tired old line of like, please don't hesitate to pass on my information to anyone you think I can help. Or like, the finest compliment anyone can receive is a referral. Like, whatever, obviously. Okay. You're just being greedy. Stop being greedy. It's out of context and it's just random. It's a random blatant pitch is what it is. And first and second of all, it asks so much for somebody. Hold on, I have to turn off my air conditioner while I record this. Okay, I'm back. And moreover, do you know how much mental energy it takes? With how much of a mental hurdle you're asking people to get over when you say to them, hey, if you know anybody that could use my services, please go ahead and just let me know. Like, I mean, that's like, hey, yeah. Okay, so I'm going to get to the story in a little bit, but Antonio and I and the kids rescued two stray cats in an alley near our house, and they're so cute. Hey, you're kicking. And one of them is sitting right by me. Moonshine is the male cat and Sunshine is the female cat. I'll put pictures in the blog. Anyways, hey, you're kitty. Okay, so what I'm saying is, like, what if I said to you, hey, everybody, I rescued these two stray cats. Let me know if there's anybody in your network that wants to adopt a cat. You'd be like, oh, I don't know. I mean, there's my mother-in-law, but other than that, I don't know. She might be allergic. I don't know anyone other than that. Like, how hard is it for you to go through? Oh, well, let me see. There are my five best college buddies, but we haven't been in the reunion in 15 years. Like, nobody has the, we don't work like a computer. Your mind does not work like an Excel spreadsheet. There's no way to just sift through or filter through or run a search on the term needs wealth management services. And moreover, a lot of people don't really like talking with their friends about their money. Like, let me ask you, do you talk with your friends about your retirement? Some people do and some people don't. I find that a lot of times it's not a serious conversation. Even when it does happen, it's just people sitting around and being like, well, geez, Tesla was ran up and now I'm a millionaire over that. Like, they talk about it so kind of casually without, you know, it's not like people sit around discussing, you know, I really think I'm paying too much in taxes. And, you know, I wonder if I'm using the correct IRA for my retirement assets. Like, they don't have discussions like that. Whenever people talk about money, it's like, it's talking about normally stocks. Okay. And then that doesn't get into what needs may be or what questions may be. It doesn't get into that. And a lot of times it's talking in a bragging way too. Like, people like to brag about the stocks that they've invested in. So what I'm saying is, you've got to build connections with your second degree connections on LinkedIn, or if you're doing this off of LinkedIn with your clients, you know, the people that are in their networks. You could do this on or off of LinkedIn. I'm going to get to LinkedIn in a little bit, how to use LinkedIn for this, but basically you have 100, 200 clients. You should absolutely be doing some kind of a check-in webinar, on a periodic basis, a newsletter, calling them on their birthdays, calling them randomly to say hello, sending them a referral if they own a business, checking them out on social media and seeing what, outside of like what they tell me, what are their lives really like? And, you know, just doing other helpful things, like just showing them much, I don't want to say like as a friend, but as a professional contact, you know, how can you be involved with their lives in a helpful way? And you're going to have to pay it forward a little bit, because you can't go in there with the, you know, sales pitch gun blazing, right? That's the last thing that you would want to do, but you just kind of want to be that helpful hovering resource. For example, you know, I know so many people that have clients that have business that have businesses, right? So many financial advisors have clients that have businesses. You should absolutely be doing everything you can to support that business. Can you send them a referral? Can you do some type of a, just again, non-sales pitch oriented series for them? Can you get on their blog and post a guest blog onto their website? You may have clients that are just bloggers in general, right? Or clients with huge social media followings. You could say to them, look, you know, here's this, would you like me to create a video for your following? Something like that. There are so many ways you could do it. And even if off of social media. Oh, so you have a book club. Do they ever take like guests? You know, like maybe you kind of want to get it to there. Like maybe you're going along to that book club meeting that they're a part of. You actually are going to have to read the book. And like I'm saying, don't go in there with the suit on and handing out your business card to everybody. Like go in there and really interact with people in a cool way. Eventually, they're going to get curious about you if they think you're cool, and they're going to ask you what you're involved with. And then that's where you start talking, right? Okay. And you want to do this in a way that deepen these relationships in a way that the clients will appreciate, not in a way that's like, here's my yucky vendor-ish tag along. All right. So the point I'm making here is however you do it, you do it, but your existing client base, this is so overlooked, financial advisors. Improve your practice by improving your relationships with your clients. That is something that can always be improved. Client relationships can always be strengthened for 100% of us. You can always do better serving your clients, and not just in a service way, like I said, in a getting to know them, curious about their lives, understanding them, and then seeing ways that in a very safe and correct way, you can become a bigger part of their circle. Charity events and volunteering. When I was a financial advisor, met so many people through charity events, and many of them were very cool people. And even now, I'm not a financial advisor, but I am involved and I have been involved with certain charities, and it is just wonderful. So what I like about that is that when you find a cause that you're really passionate about, it just really brings out the best in you. And a lot of times people that show up for this charity stuff are people with good intentions in mind, and those are beautiful people. And it's wonderful to see somebody that is so unselfish, and I just think charity is great to meet people through. For example, this is kind of like having it in reverse, but what happened was when we found these stray cats, we went and we looked up our local cat rescue organization, and it turns out that a friends of mine that I used to know from way back in our neighborhood that I had actually talked to when I was a financial advisor. And she said, oh yeah, I want to meet with you. And then I ended up going out of the business. As you know, I'm not a financial advisor anymore, but she was like a viable prospect. It turns out this woman actually runs this local charity. So it just goes to show you that, and I understand that that was kind of doing it in reverse. What I would be instructing you to do is that get involved with the charity and through that meet the people. So, but this one, I got involved with the charity and kind of re-met a person that had already been a qualified prospect. But what I'm saying here is that it's not broke people that do charities, right? A lot of times, and especially if you're kind of a little bit careful about which charities you get involved with, you're more likely to find wealthy people that are involved with the charities, especially if you get into like the people running the charities. The founders actually end up contributing a lot of their personal money to it. So I could be wrong, but I think when you get into the people that are donating to the charities that are heavily involved with them, a lot of times they do have money if they're not just volunteers. So yeah, I think this is very underrated. And again, you're not going in there with your financial advisor hat on. Okay. This is a long-term relationship. Have your social media up and running, get them involved with your social media. You know, like by posting things about their charity on your social media, and you'd be surprised at how quickly that can really get around. So the third thing is get involved with activities that rich people do. When I was a financial advisor, one day I sat down and I'm like, I'm going to get involved with activities so that I can meet rich people. I intentionally said this, right? And so I was like, well, what do rich people get involved with? And I went to this like group fashion event. And it was this inside tour of the fashion district in Manhattan, and it cost money. It wasn't a free event. You had to pay a fee, but I was like on a mission to get a client out of it because I'm like, I got all dressed up classy, like, and I had like nice purse, nice shoes. I mean, I'm not saying it could like to be superficial, but you know, certain things do convey, you know, that you're from you have a certain amount of status to you. And I just was kind of playing that game at that point. Now, not so much, but I was playing the game. Look, I'll be honest. Right. Anyways, so there I am and, you know, looking great, like dressed up nice. And I just went to this fashion group tour of the fashion district, and I'm walking around with people and I'm just talking to them, kind of just being cool and, you know, getting to know them. And of course, during these conversations, it comes up that I help people with their money. And there were a lot of women at this fashion event. And I did mention that I was focused on women because at that point in my practice, I was. Ding, ding, ding. And then during the event, at the end, one person turns around and she's like, look, you know, I'd love for you to take a look at my portfolio. I'm considering moving to another country. And she was a client. So and it's not that a lot of you aren't involved with a lot of quote unquote rich activities. Like I also was in the Harvard Club. There's a certain admission fee that goes with that. So, you know, obviously if you're broke, you're probably not a member there. So that was a source of activity of prospecting activity for me as well. I mean, I do see a lot of you that are involved with like the golf club or, you know, sailing organizations or whatever. But what I'm saying is be a little bit more intentional about it. Be a little bit more intentional about meeting as many people as you can and making a good impression. Don't just show up. Like, I was like popping into the Harvard Club with like, you know, track outfit on, whatever. Like, I would never do that now. If I were to do it again, I would have been much more strategic about every time going in there. You know, I would have said to myself, and this is what I would recommend you say to yourself, I'm going to leave today's event with, you know, this session or this event or whatever. I'm going to leave out of this experience with 3 new people that I talked to that could potentially, you know, do business with me. And if you keep doing that over and over again, if you just keep making the effort to meet people, make a good impression on them, look good, sound good, have something interesting to say to them, find out about what they're involved with, go talk to them, ask them questions, get them to talk about their lives. You will see how popular you are. And then at the end, just be like, hey, you want to stay in touch? I'm on social media. Connect with me. You will see what happens. All right. Number 4, Facebook groups. Yes. So there are some Facebook groups that are like fanatically vibrant in terms of having activity. For example, these new parent groups, you're in such a desperate position when you're a new mom or a new dad. Like, I was just so voracious for all of the information. I was nuts. Like, I've had 4 kids. By the 4th kid, I'm definitely like a lot more laid back. But the first kid, my first kid was in like literally 5 different daycares. I just kept finding reasons that it's something I would panic. Like, this was ridiculous. They didn't have like the air conditioning wasn't strong enough. And she was there in like July and August. Those were the first months. And she was only there for like a month because when I came to pick her up, she was sweating. Like ridiculous stuff, right? Anyways, that can just show you the kind of mindset you're in as a new parent. Not everybody's that way, but you know, I myself tend to be a little bit more on the, well, you know, snarky and outspoken side. And I'm kind of a difficult customer. in some cases, but this was definitely a great resource for me. I got on Facebook and I was talking with all these people, you know, as a new parent, and I met so many people. And, you know, like I said, just over and over again, you don't have to do it in one message. This is the thing. You financial advisors can be so impatient. Like, you are, like, to me, some of you are like that client that comes in and is like, I want a 300% return over the S&P within 3 months. And if not, then I'm firing you. Like that, y'all, some of y'all can be that way, like not patient. You don't have to do it all in the message. Like I'm always like, you know, 2-sentence rule, ask a question in the first message. And then some of you do that right. And then you're like, you know, I couldn't close this prospect. Then I'm like, show me what you wrote. And then I see the message string and it's like, you did the first message right. But then in the second message, you were like asking them about meeting for coffee and doing a portfolio review. Listen, slow down. Until there's a reasonable basis for somebody to want to meet with you, don't ask the question. Because you're just being desperate and you're just being an octopus and reaching out and grabbing at the thin air in that case. All right. So another story about Facebook. I, as you know, have an autistic child, and that I am also very crazy over. Like I'm voracious for information and knowledge about this and calling on every single resource. And by the way, it's been great because he's really benefited from it. And we've definitely been able to experience the powerful gift that autism can be. So we're grateful for that. But there's been no shortage of hard work. And, you know, I've spoken with a lot of people in my community about this, you know, parents, therapists, teachers, right? There was this Facebook group about special needs. And let me tell you, I was all over that group. I was in that group and asking questions, this, that. And there was just one lawyer in there that was just very polite. And he was answering my questions. And then he's like, you know, maybe we should meet. Ding, ding, ding. Well, yes, I do happen to be, by the way, an affluent individual. I was in this Facebook group. He's a lawyer. But if he had perhaps been like a financial advisor, now I don't need a financial advisor because I used to be one. I'm a CFA, et cetera. So like I take care of myself. But if I was someone that didn't have that background, and he were a financial advisor, that would have been a prospecting win for him. So just get into these community-oriented Facebook groups. And, you know, you may want to position yourself like a resource, but I would say more so, like, get into the community for yourself being a member of that community. Like, if you're an avid golfer, you know, get into like some local golf group on Facebook and be like, oh, this and that. And, you know, it rained and the golf course was rainy today. And it's like, just start a conversation with people, be helpful, be useful, get out there and just talk to people. Or, you know, maybe more if you are a new parent or if you could fit into some of these communities, new parent communities on Facebook are great. And, you know, like I said, answer the questions and don't be too forward with things. You know, be long-term focused, but just be a friend to people. And just like this lawyer got a lead out of me. He didn't get my business. I didn't end up working with him, but that's how it happens. Number 5, how to find wealthy clients on LinkedIn. Now, I know y'all don't believe that it can be done, but by the way, I see financial advisors doing this every day. So you absolutely can get wealthy clients from LinkedIn. So first of all, if you haven't read my ebook yet, I think that you should definitely check it out. Not making a recommendation here because everybody's different from one to the next. You might not be into my style, but I can tell you that this ebook, I don't know anyone else who wrote an ebook like this for financial advisors on LinkedIn messaging specifically. So here's a little bit of a story, and don't worry, there is an application to LinkedIn. In fact, I'm considering trademarking this as the Grillo Scared Cat LinkedIn method. The kids and I and Antonio, when we would go out, we would always see these two cats kind of in our neighborhood, and they're beautiful tuxedo cats. You'll see the picture in the blog. Just look at the blog on my website with this title, you know, for this podcast. But basically, they're beautiful tuxedo cats. Tuxedo cat has a white chest, or normally bicolor cat, like it's white and then it could be black or sometimes orange or another color. But for us, it's white and black, and like white chest, white paws, and a little bit of white on the face. Very cute. But I really am not an animal person. I'm a kid person, but not an animal person. So the kids have been asking me, like, can we take the kitties home? Can we take the kitties home? No, 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 no. And until one day when we're walking by this apartment building, we would always see the cats in front of this apartment building. And this woman comes running out and she's like, oh, I see you patting the cats all the time. You know, you have to take these cats home with you. And we're like, why? And they're like, because the landlord, because the landlord was going to put them, get them put to a shelter. Right? And so the kids got real upset. And Antonio, before I could respond though, Antonio meows out, well, we'll take them. And then the kids got all excited or whatever. And so I'm like, all right, I guess I could do it. So whatever, we call up this cat rescue organization. We get a carrier. We take the cats home, right? I didn't try to pry them out of the carrier. That's the first thing. I left the door open to the carrier and I left the door closed to the bathroom. Because I knew that if I put my hand in that carrier, he was going to scratch me or bite me. You know, he was scared. He was shaking. He was literally shaking when we brought him in. Moonshine and sunshine. Moonshine's the male cat. So in the morning, and I just absolutely left him alone. Like, we closed the door so he felt safe. And then we left him alone. And in the morning, I go in the bathroom and I go in there and I see him in the bathtub lying down and he's looking up at me. And I'm like, okay, well, busy. He was so cute. And so I'm like, well, maybe he could stay another day. By the way, the cats have been here for 3 weeks at this point. Okay. So what I did was, though, to get him to trust me, I would actually go in there and just sit in the bathroom and not even look at him. See, you know, Antonio was like, oh, like, I'm going to, you know, show the cat that I care and I'm going to get him used to me and I'm going to go in there and pat him and I'm going to pick him up. And I'm like, don't do that. I just went in there and I sat there. I literally would sit there and, like, sometimes just be on my computer or, you know, just be on my phone or something. And I would look at him occasionally and then look back. And then I left the bathroom door open and I would kind of do things like in front of the bathroom so that he could, like, I would do my work, like sitting there in front of the bathroom so that he could observe me. And I would turn my back actually, and just be so busy. And eventually he came out of the bathroom. So that's the first thing. And this is, it's practical application of LinkedIn, is say hello. Like I said, hello to the cat, take a small action. It doesn't have to be this whole grandiose thing. Like, a lot of you come out on the first message and you try to, like, get it all done. Like, here's me. I'm so virtuous. I'm so smart. And what are your needs? And here's what I do. It's like, you're going to get scratched. Okay. So just make a small gesture at first, just like I did. Person's scared. Cat's scared, right? And then let them observe you. This is a key thing about LinkedIn that everybody overlooks. Everybody thinks of it so mechanically in terms of the actions that they are taking. Like, oh, well, I'm going to post now. And, you know, I'm going to make everybody respond, or I'm going to go send a message and blah, 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 blah. It's like, you understand, you are being watched by so many people. If you're getting 100 or so views or thousands of views, like, these prospects that you're connecting with are probably seeing you. And in my membership, I talk about how to maximize engagement and how to maximize visibility so that more people in your network are served up your posting. There is a technical way to do this that can help you to maximize the amount of people that see you. But anyways, so I let the cat observe me and I noticed him observing me. Like, I would look out of the corner of my eye and I would see that he didn't want to come close to me, but with what I was doing, he would, like, if I moved, then I noticed that he would kind of move closer to me. So, you know, kind of just observe them. All right. And then the way that I really got him, though, was I noticed that when I would go into the kitchen to get something to eat, he would follow me. And then I was very observant. I noticed how he was responding, that he would move his mouth. Like, when I would open, like, especially crinkling a plastic bag to get myself something to eat, he would move his mouth too. So that's how I started to know when he was hungry, and then I would feed him. All right. So, you know, this is another thing about LinkedIn, is that, you know, so many people are very ignorant about just taking actions regardless of the signs that they're getting from the prospect. So when you're talking to someone on LinkedIn Messenger, you may be getting signs that it is the correct moment to ask for the meeting, or you might be getting signs that they're not ready yet. So things like them using emojis, them using exclamation points, them asking a question, like heightened expression is normally a sign that they're feeling closer to you. They're engaging more strongly with you. Now you're getting close to asking for the meeting. Nonchalant responses, one or two word responses, use your powers of observation, folks. This is not as viable to, it's not as viable to ask for the meeting in this case. All right. Or if someone seems like they're intentionally avoiding talking about themselves or not answering the questions that you're answering, use the powers of your observation, folks. All right. Yes, I know it's not the same as sitting there in front of a cat, but if you look, go ahead, go to your LinkedIn Messenger right now and look at the messages you've been getting and see what would you rate the engagement level on a scale of 1 to 5. And you're going to notice that there are certain characteristics in common with the ones that are engaging, and there are certain characteristics with the ones that aren't. Okay, so be smart about when you make your move, how you make your move, what you say next. And again, it's small gestures. Just like I let the cat be who he was so that the transition wasn't too shocking and he didn't feel like I was taking him over. You can't take people over on LinkedIn either. You've got to blend. You've got to look at what they're naturally feeling, experiencing, doing. You've got to figure out what their experience is. And then once you know what people are experiencing, then you're in a position to proceed or to not proceed. Because sometimes the correct move is to step away for a month or two, sprinkling these polite messages, reattempting in a very casual and natural way. And then you're still, by the way, posting so they can see you. Sometimes, even if you've asked for the meeting and someone's given you a lukewarm response like, well, I can't do it now, but after the summer's over, continue to sprinkle a message here or there. You're not going to ask for the meeting again, right? Until they're ready to come to you on it, but you're still going to be posting in the feed, et cetera. So basically with these cats, having them, and I didn't know anything about cats before, never had had a cat before, seeing the good and the bad things that people did that worked or didn't work with these cats, I learned that let a cat be a cat, basically. And that's what I would say to you about LinkedIn. It doesn't have to be this whole forceful thing. And I feel like a lot of the marketing agencies sell it that way, that like, we could get you these results within this amount of time. If you're in that dire need for clients, then you got to relook at how you're running your practice. And maybe it's time to do something differently within your practice, right? A position of desperation is never a reason for you to pursue heavily any one prospect. You can increase the number of prospects you're reaching out to, because if you're that desperate for new clients, then I'm assuming that means you probably maybe are starting out or you don't have a lot of clients to begin with, right? So that opens up more time for prospecting. Normally, I suggest in my membership, by the way, that's on the website if you want to join, you can learn social media from me. Basically, I talk about having a list of 20 that you work off of, but if you're really in that dire position, maybe it's a list of 40. Let a cat be a cat. Observe, sprinkle, go with them, get a sense of the experience they are having, and then judge your actions accordingly. All right, everybody, thank you for listening. There are open spots on my membership. It's on my website, saragrillo.com, in the services section. If you haven't read 47 Financial Advisor Messages, please check it out. That is also on my website. And we will see you in the next podcast.